We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Want to take a quick second to talk to you about our sponsor, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you simply have to pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Tyler and I have had a ton of fun using the app. It's super easy to use. You simply pick your favorite players that you think are going to have a big week, i.e. Keenan Allen against the Tennessee Titans in week 2, or maybe it's a bad week, i.e. Kirk Cousins against the Philadelphia Eagles. You make those selections, you pick more than or less than on those statistics. Again, 2-6 player stat projections, and you can simply watch the money roll in. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday during the NBA season, if that's more of your jam. And again, you can use Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits as well. Super user-friendly. We've loved using the app, and we cannot recommend them enough. Simply go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use the code guilty for a first deposit match up to $100. Thanks for supporting the show. Bolt up. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. My name is Steven and I am the host, and we have a very special guest joining us today, Mr. Chris Rimm, who covers the Chargers for ESPN and is doing a great job. We're very happy to have him back on the show. A different feed this time, but back on the show, you know, on the Guilty as Charged feed instead of the Chargers feed. But Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Happy to be here. You know, excited to be back with you guys.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you as well. Tyler is here too, man. Tyler, what's up, man? How is the end of your spring break treating you?
Oh, I'm watching so much film, my eyes are bleeding, but it's all good. Wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
It's the best, the best. Gotta love that that grind of getting to 150 prospects. It's fun. So we are 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, so we've got a lot of stuff to cover here with Chris. But Chris, I think, you know, we've had the first couple of days of phase one for the Chargers. I think it's fair that we just do kind of a vibe check with you, because last time we spoke, it was kind of post Brandon Staley firing, everything like that. We did kind of a post-mortem. Things were pretty bleak at the time. So you've been in the facility the last couple of days. How have you seen the team kind of, you know, adjusting to the start of the Jim Harbaugh and Ben Herbert era?
Yeah, it's different with like the phase one, the offseason program kind of, because we don't get to go for this week, we didn't get to go inside and, you know, actually see the workouts. We kind of were given players and given coaches and around them in that way, if that makes sense. But I would say from just being at the facility, because guys walk out of the building and we're there, I'm there, you know, shooting video. You can tell that there's an excitement to be with Jim Harbaugh. And oftentimes I think people separate like NFL players from like normal people. Like they see Jim Harbaugh in the same way we see Jim Harbaugh, right? Like, you know, like Joshua Palmer is what, like 24 or something or 25? Like,
yeah.
So in 2014, he was, or 2011, when Jim Harbaugh was the Niners coach, he was what, 12 or something, or, you know? So it's like,
you see
him posting a picture. His first picture is like him working out with Jim Harbaugh. Like, this is a cool moment for everybody. Like, it's not like this is just like a coach. This is a guy who's a figure, who's a name that everybody's excited about.
How are the players responding both to Jim Harbaugh and Ben Herbert in terms of like, you know, character? Are they nervous? Are they buying in right now? Do you feel like they're nervously laughing? Like, what is the mood like among the players when they see someone like a Jim Harbaugh and then Ben Herbert, who kind of scares me?
Yeah, he kind of scares everybody. I mean, I think guys are excited, man. I mean, I'm sure you already have, but for anyone who hasn't, I would just tell you to watch Hayden Hurst's press conference. You know, it was kind of a Jim Harbaugh commercial, pretty much like that kind of, and it wasn't disingenuous at all or not genuine. Like, it felt like you could feel how excited this guy was to be here. Like, it felt like people, they're signing the kind of players who want to play the way Jim wants to play, right? Like, these are like, for lack of a better term, real football guys. Like, they want to hit you in the mouth. They want to run you over. Like, this is not the Chargers of the past. I think, like, these are guys who are coming with, like, maybe not the past, I shouldn't say. Maybe of the last regime, right? Like, not that anyone was soft or anything like that, but I don't think this, as you know, the guys they brought in, it's not going to be a team. It's going to be a team that looks probably a lot like an AFC North offense, like an AFC North kind of slugfest. Like, that's what they're trying to do. And the players that they brought in are excited to do that. And the guys that they already have also know how to do that. Like, you know, Khalil Mack played in Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, these guys know how to do that too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for people who are used to the California AFC West Chargers when they're going to see this big physical team like Hayden Hurst talked about. Regarding Ben Herbert, the press conference was a very unique experience. I've never seen a director of sports performance or strength and conditioning coach give a press conference, let alone like be that electric in the press conference. What's kind of like your big takeaway from that experience? You were there, you got to hear him, you got to ask him questions. What was the energy like around that Ben Herbert press conference?
Yeah, everyone was kind of just like this the whole time, right? Like, just looking at him, like, because when the press conference started, so we all sit here and I'm not sure how the video showed it, but he walked down the left side of the media and then he walked in like almost in front of us and like stared into our eyes like a drill. he looked everyone like up and down. I was like, what is happening? And then he got up and his eyes, like when he talks, if you look at his eyes, it's super intense. Like he's telling you, I don't know, telling you some bad news, but he's a hunter. I think what I got from the presser is that Ben's important. Like, he's very important to Jim. He's going to be very important to this team. And they really believe in what you do in the weight room is going to prevent injuries. And, like, for the Chargers team, as you know, this Chargers squad has been unable to avoid injuries. You know, last season we saw, you know, by week 14, you know, there's, you know, both starters gone to receiver, center's gone, you know, heel injuries for everybody seemingly at some point, you know,
foot
brain. So that I thought that they want to, you know, having him up there, like you said, you don't see a strength and conditioning coach up there speaking, right? Let alone speaking for 30 minutes about stabilizing muscles and neck flexibility and questionnaires about ankle mobility. So I was just sad to say he's going to be important and, you know, they're going to make sure guys are buying in the weight room.
Yeah, so I saw a media post going back to that questionnaire. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I think the Chargers media posted like they were taking a test. Is that what that was? Something about like how? What was that?
Yeah, so it's called I should have had this up. It's called a key performance indicator sheet or something of that sort. It's in my story, but it's something like key performance indicator sheet. And basically, it's a questionnaire asking guys how much lean muscle do you have? what's your ankle mobility on whatever scale you use for ankle mobility? What's your neck mobility, your hip mobility? And it's, do you not know? You could also give that as an option. So that's what you saw guys doing in the clip. It's like they're all filling out this this sheet that they'll use as a base for, you know, their off-season program.
Interesting.
Yeah. The start of phase one usually is very mellow, like from my experience of covering this team and, like, you know, watching this team. The other unique thing about it, obviously, is Jim Harbaugh in the gym, like working out with, you mentioned, you know, Josh Palmer's experience with it. I can't recall a head coach, let alone a head coach of Jim Harbaugh's age, being in the weight room with the team, like working out. What do you think that says about just the culture aspect of things that Jim is trying to install, that he was in there grinding with the guys on day one with Ben Herbert?
Yeah, and I think it shows that he is who he's, who everybody says he is for the most part, right? Like, he's this guy who is about to, you know, nearing 60, who still acts like, you know, he's half his age, right? He's in there working out with these players, and he wants you, I was talking to Delanie Walker about this actually, and he says Jim Harbaugh does a great job at kind of diminishing that line between player and coach, but while still having that respect for him. He's talking about how Jim would come in the locker room, and usually when a head coach walks in the locker room, you want to like act like you're looking at your playbook or act like you're studying something. And he was like, nah, guys would just be like, yo, Jim, let's play one-on-one on the court in the locker room, or let's do, and he would come and do it, right? And like play around and mess around. And when it was time to go, guys were ready to go. It gave that 49ers team a feeling of like, we want to play for him. So it's like when he slaps Jim Schwartz in that Detroit Lions game on the back, and you see everybody coming to fight, Delanie was like, yeah, because we would all get suspended for Jim, right? You know, and it's because of these things, right? Because you see this old dude in the locker room lifting weights with me, you know, like that. Yeah. That's where it starts. So that's what I would say. So he's doing what he's always done.
Yeah, hopefully suspended for Jim isn't up there and all the new Harbaugh-ism and everything. One that is up there is Ted, you know, there every day. And it talks about how, you know, we're going to be there every day and there every day for each other, unless, you know, a bone is sticking out of our skin, we'll be there. Is that like one of the only ones that are up right now of the isms, or are there other kind of like Harbaugh sayings or slogans and things they're trying to push right now?
Yeah, so we're not in that locker room to see what other slogans he'll have up, but I will say that that's one of the things that he'll say probably every press conference or every day. Like, he has these, you know, things that I've heard, and I've been around him just for the past couple months, you know, that everyone's heard. It's, you know, the analogies about Christ and pregnancy for the first day, or there's, you know, attacking every day with that, you know, mental, whatever that one is. And I think people are calling them Harbaugh-isms, right? So I'd expect to see a bunch of those throughout the facility, on the Chargers social media page. I'm sure they'll do something creative with all the stuff he says at some point.
Yeah, for sure. Let's shift gears here and talk about the Chargers free agency. You mentioned Hayden Hurst. You did a great article on the Keenan Allen trade. Obviously the Chargers are moving on with Mike Williams as well. Now that you've had some time to kind of like settle on it and, you know, read the reaction to your story about the Keenan Allen trade, how do you think the players are or have felt about like the Chargers' decisions to move on from Keenan and Mike?
Yeah, I mean, with Mike, I think there was less of a reaction from players, maybe because it was expected. Also, maybe because Mike wasn't there this season. Maybe that's what it was, and people kind of saw that situation happening. Players definitely were shocked with Keenan. I mean, everybody was shocked with Keenan. You saw some people say that publicly. I mean, Deion Henley tweeted like, nah, I can't believe this. Still trying to convince myself. Donald Parham made a post on Instagram on a story about it, saying like the team was just playing musical chairs. And the challenge with Keenan was that he was a guy who'd been there for the longest. He was the leader on offense, along with Justin, right? He's a guy that people look to. He's that old funny dude who brought humor and just, you know, game to the locker room. He was a guy who publicly said, I'm never leaving. I don't want to leave. And seemed like he never was going to leave. So that shocked players, but I wouldn't say it created any animosity towards the organization or to Jim. I think it was just instant confusion, at least from the players I've talked to. And also part of that is because a lot of the offense is new. It's gone, right? or they're in like their, you know, early years in the league too. So I don't think there's any tension there from the move, but players were definitely in the moment like shocked. And I think it was just a reminder that this is a business.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely shocking for us. I sat there for an hour, didn't know what to say on a live stream. I don't know how we got that done. But one quote from Harbaugh in one of your articles is, you know, we're going to win. That's what we want to do. So we want guys that want to win and want to be here, which is true. I think every NFL team wants to do that and have those guys and say those things. But is that a risky quote to say something like that very much so right after moving on from Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I think that might have been Joe Ortiz who said that. But either way, is it a risky quote? I don't think so. I mean, I think what happened, I don't think it's a risky quote. I think he's just saying, you know, the situation, right? Like, we want guys who want to be here. We want guys who want to win. And that's the reality, right? When you look at the situation between Keenan and the Chargers, I don't think anyone can say the Chargers were wrong for what they did or Keenan was wrong for what he did, you know, and Jim, I think Jim and everyone recognize, if you talk to the people who were in talks with Keenan, they'll probably tell you, I would have did the same thing he did. I'm going to make $23 million this year, but you want me to take significantly less. Like, imagine your boss came to you and said, I just want you to take less money just because, right? Like, I just want you to take less money just because, right? So There's that, and then there's the idea of how the Chargers are approaching this, right? There's a cap hit, there's a situation, there's a, you know, aging player. You want to build out this roster. So yeah, I don't think that was like a direct shot at Keenan. I think it was just him saying what it is, right? He's trying to lay the foundation and let people know what they're building.
Right. In regards to Khalil and Joey being able to come back here, I think there was also a lot of surprise that Joey was ultimately decided to keep him on the roster. I think you could frame this right as like a team, you know, if the Chargers were going to trade somebody, I think the team framing that acquisition would be like, hey, we believe we can get, you know, 15 games out of Joey Bosa, and for us that's worth it. You know, we believe that our training staff can fix some of the injury issues. You know, regarding Ben Herbert here, I think that is an underrated aspect of keeping Joey Bosa around. But for you, like, when you look at this decision to keep the edge rushers instead of the wide receivers, why do you think the team ultimately decided to keep the edge rushers and prioritize them? And what do you think fans can really expect from that decision?
Well, I don't think it was a straight, we want the edge rushers over the receivers, right? Because as we all know, you know, it's been reported they talked with teams about trading all of them. And, you know, ultimately, we don't know what happened in those discussions, but we do know that Khalil Mack is turning, what, 34? He's 33, turns 33 or 33, something, whatever, right? And then of that group, Keenan Allen was probably the most attractive to two teams around the league and people I talk to, right? So that's one aspect you have to think about, right? Like, who was probably drawing the most interest from one. But two, I mean, I think it ultimately comes down to if you have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa willing to take this pay cut, they also may have looked at the market and maybe considered, what would I get if I was released? Would I get this number that I'm getting right now, right? Like, that might be what all these guys have to think about. If I was released, would I get the pay cut number I'm getting right now?
Right.
So that's also something that's a consideration. Like, you know, people always say, well, they took it for the team, a team deal. There's also that aspect, right? Like, am I going to get this on the open market? Yeah. So I don't think it was a decision for defense over offense. I just think that's kind of how it worked. And they tried to get Mike back, and they weren't able to get him back. I wouldn't read into it as that. But it does, if you do look at their history, Ortiz and Harbaugh, like, they've always won with good defenses. And if you want to have a good defense, it would make a lot of sense to have two really good edge rushers. We know Joey has had his injury history, but if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're Ben Herbert and Joe Ortiz, you're the most confident people in the world. you think you probably think Bosa is going to play 30 games if you asked him to with 5 minutes with Ben Herbert. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's how, I think that's how they're looking at it.
Sorry, Tyler, just real quick. Khalil Mack just turned 33.
33. Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry,
Khalil. You're good.
All good. All good. He does not look it either way. Whatever he does look it, that's for sure. Turning our attention to the draft now, every single year, there's maybe six or seven quarterbacks the media says is going to go round one and ends up being like two or three, maybe. The Chargers in particular are really, really hoping it's at least four and four that go one, two, three, and four. Do we feel at all that's even realistic? Because I know Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy, but him going fourth overall and the Vikings trading up to get him and the Cardinals trading out of Marvin Harrison Jr. seems so unlikely, but boy, Chargers fans really want that one.
Yeah, man. I honestly, I don't see, and this is just me talking, I don't see a scenario where Marvin Harrison ends up a Charger just because of how it's set up. I think Arizona would want to just take him there. But, man, a lot of J.J. McCarthy smoke, a lot of smoke about every QB, like you said, right? Like every QB, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. So there's a lot going on. And the Chargers, Harbaugh and Ortiz have been a part of that smoke. They're very obviously.
Very vocally, yes.
Yeah, gas up these quarterbacks for what might be a smoke screen to see if they can get a nice package. But, yeah, so not obviously I'm not basing this off reporting. It just seems unlikely to me that would happen with Marvin Harrison. But obviously he's, you know, a great receiver. But I don't know. I think Neighbors is pretty good too, man. I think they're, you know, the guys behind him are also very good. But if I was guessing, and not really guessing, in talking to them, I don't know if the Chargers know what they're going to do yet. I think that they're seriously considering moving back. I mean, if you look at what the Ravens had done, they don't really move back a ton. Sometimes they'll trade a player, but if you can get 11 and 23, you know, so I honestly think they don't know what they're going to do yet. And as the phone, as it gets near the draft, the phones are going to start ringing and they'll figure that out. But, you know, sorry, that's kind of running around your question, but that's how I would look at it.
We've been running on the same question for 2 months now, so it's all good.
Yeah. Now, I still, like, I'm still very skeptical that a team would trade three first-round picks or two first-round picks and a third-round pick or whatever the cost is for J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels, for that matter. I don't share that same kind of belief as people. And, like, the common consensus now is, like, oh, it's one through four, and then the Chargers are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm like, I would love that. I just, like, I don't buy that happening. that's just where I'm at with those quarterbacks. Like, I think there still is a chance that it's like quarterback, quarterback, receiver, receiver, and then the Chargers are sitting there trying to figure out, do they want to take an offensive tackle? Do they want to trade back still at that point? In that scenario where the quarterbacks don't come off the board, is Joe Alt, like, you think that's probably the consensus pick in terms of going offensive line if the top receivers are not on the board?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. Like, if I was a betting man, I would say that would be the pick, and it would make the most sense. Not that Harbaugh, I was looking at this the other day, but I don't believe we can check me on this. I don't think when he was in San Francisco they drafted a lineman in the first round, but I don't know if they had a pick.
No.
Did, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So they had Staley and the other
Davis.
Right. They kind of had Davis were on the roster already when Harbaugh got there.
Bookend guys when he got there. So I can see that happening with Joe Alt at five or another tackle there if it plays out that way. I do think the Patriots are for sure going quarterback though. So I think so. Like I bank on that.
Yeah, I definitely think so. It seems like they've set themselves up for that. I think there's at least three. It just really comes down to is there a fourth there in the top five?
I don't believe in the fourth, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah, right. Right there with you. But again, wishful thinking. Believe it or not, there are more picks after the fifth pick. There's a second round, there's a third round, et cetera. And the Chargers don't have a great overall roster. You're not picking fifth because you had a great roster and great success last season. So if the Chargers, like, what's like an underrated need for the Chargers? You know, Chargers fans were focused on like receiver, corner, tackle, maybe D tackle, I guess. Like, is there another underrated need the Chargers might address earlier than Chargers fans or we're thinking?
I mean, maybe running back. Like,
yeah.
You know, like who, but people might be flipping over their tables in their house, in their house when they see Blake Corum go second round. Oh, gosh.
Don't you put that out there. I'm not inviting you back.
But yeah, man, I think that's probably an underrated, not necessarily, I guess, a need, right? Like you, but there, you know, there's been reported that J.K. Dobbins visited with them. So I'm not saying that I've heard that's something that they might do. But if I wanted to truly pick an underrated one out of what you named, I would say like another back alongside a Gus to just round out that unit, and they could draft a guy. Hopefully it's not making you guys go mad.
We'll put on a smile.
We'll put on a smile. Blake Corum's a fine player, just not at pick 37, please. I think my question about the draft on day two is, you know, if they stick and pick at five, how active would Joe Ortiz be in terms of like trading and manipulating the board? Because they have the 9 picks. I'm wondering if Joe thinks that's enough, or if he's going to try and get, you know, 10, 11 picks by moving back on day two, moving back on day three. What's your assessment? Like, if you had to guess in terms of the amount of picks that they make, do you think they make the 9, or do you think they add to that board?
I think that, well, for one, this is for sure not Tom Telesco here, right? Like there might
no, be... we never had a conversation about trading back because he literally never did it.
Exactly, right? Like there might be a move, but I would say more than them trading back to get more picks, I could see them trading up to get a guy that they really liked, right? Like sacrificing a pick. If they really like a player who they see is falling, I could see them potentially going from like 9 to 7 picks to get a really good player that they have high on their board that they believe is falling versus accumulating like 11 players from the draft. Right. I'll probably see them moving up for someone more likely than them adding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, the Ravens are so good, or obviously Jordy didn't call all the shots, but they were so good at just finding whoever they needed and then still finding a way to trade back to accumulate the picks that they lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just brilliant. So I'm excited to see that here. As far as the Chargers roster goes, and last question from me, if the Chargers were to double dip at any position in the draft, you think that would be which position group?
If they were to double dip at any position in the draft, I think that would be – it's a good question. Maybe cornerback?
It's part of the right answer. Yeah.
Well, that's because the way Joe talked about it, I'm sure you guys might have read about this, the way he was talking about cornerback, and I'm in love with cornerbacks, and I've never done going to get cornerbacks, right? And it's a need for the Chargers for sure. So I could see there. Also, if I don't mean to cut you up, I would also maybe D-tackle too. Mm-hmm. Maybe D-tackle.
Yeah, you didn't say running back, so anything else was an acceptable answer.
We like running backs, I swear. Just... No, D-tackle, I think, is kind of a sneaky thing, too, especially if the Chargers do end up training back. You know, Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy at 11, I think could make a lot of sense for this team. But, Chris, this has been awesome, man. We really appreciate your time on the show today and obviously previously. What's kind of in the works for you over the next 3 weeks as we lead up into the draft?
Yeah, we have all draft prep stuff and, you know, trying to figure out what the Chargers are going to do there. And then following the draft, we'll obviously have some stories, you know, previewing the season and stuff about the stars and the biggest players. So just keep an eye on ESPN.com, the Chargers page, and check us out.
There we go. Well, Chargers fans, hopefully you enjoyed the listen today with Chris. We finally have some stability with ESPN and the Chargers. We're very grateful for that and Chris's presence. So make sure and check him out, give him a follow, read all his stuff, and support him as much as he deserves. So, Chris, thanks for having us, or joining us, I should say. We'll be sure to talk soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, y'all.